Candy Weens is the director of the University of Pennsylvania's Master's in Medical Education Program and a senior fellow. Her newest book is Burnout Immunity, How Emotional Intelligence Can Help You Build Your Resilience and Heal Your Relationship with Work. Welcome to the show, Candy.
Thanks, George. Happy to be here.
Yeah, excited to have you on. Tell us a little about your personal life, more about your work, and what motivated you to write the book.
Yeah, so I get asked this question every once in a while, like, why of all things would someone want to become an expert in burnout? It sounds like something that would be so depressing to dedicate your career to. And it's true, but I'm on the other side of burnout. I've had my own personal experience with it back in 2011. And that created a pretty serious life-threatening wake-up call for me. So before coming to Penn and before diving into this research, I was a management consultant for about 20 something years, and very lucrative career, very successful, the kind of job where you get promoted every couple of years and things are going really well, but you have to work extremely hard. And for insecure overachievers like me who throw ourselves into work, I was prone to burnout. I mean, I was just burnout waiting to happen because I was so dedicated to my work and really striving to achieve a lot of big goals like many people are today, and very much in the grind, you know, very much mentality towards work of, I just got to push through it. I got to push through the pain sort of thing. And I did. And I, for the most part, loved my work, but also, you know, started recognizing some signs early on that this wasn't sustainable. Started missing out on some pretty meaningful moments with my family, like a lot of parents do, where we make, you know, we willingly make sacrifices, personal sacrifices in order to attain those professional goals. And so I started noticing I was making more and more of those sacrifices, but it didn't really hit me until I went into the doctor's office when I was 42 years old, 41 years old, and very healthy, thought I was healthy, felt like I was carrying an average level of stress, just like most people. And I went into the doctor, just my annual checkup, and thought I'd be in and out in 20 minutes, just like, you know, most of us go in, we get our A and see you later, see you next year, Dr. Smith or whatever. So I go in, and long story short, the nurse checked my blood pressure 4 times without saying anything and then left the exam room. And I did what most of us would do. I grabbed my phone and I started working again, because I was just, my mind was on work, not necessarily on me and my health. And it didn't really dawn on me that what was going on with me was a sky high blood pressure reading of 200 over 110. Mm. That's considered a hypertensive emergency, where I could have been rushed. I mean, they were planning to rush me to the hospital.
Oh my gosh.
And my doctor came in. Oh, it was, I mean, when the doctor came in and started telling me what was going on, and she tried to keep me calm, of course, because they didn't want to get me any more worked up. But once the anti-anxiety medicine and the blood pressure reducing medicine started setting in, the doctor started telling me what was going on and that I could have had a heart attack right on spot there. I could have potentially, you know, had a stroke, or some people will even die if they have a hypertensive emergency last without any kind of treatment. So she called my husband to come and pick me up. And once he got there, she gave him instructions for what I was supposed to do, which was basically like, don't do anything for 5 days, just take it easy and watch my blood pressure. And then, you know, my first thought was, no way, I'm not sitting low for 5 days. I have to go back to work next week. Like, I have way too much to do and people are counting on me. And then my second thought was, well, thank God someone's finally giving me a chance to get some sleep and just rest and take care of myself. And it sounds funny now, but I looking back in hindsight, I think my reaction was pretty normal. As I talk to people who are burned out and not necessarily taking the steps they need to, many of us have the same kind of reaction. It's our first thought is still on work and our responsibilities. But once it finally dawned on me that I needed to do something different, I needed to take a very serious look at what stress was doing to me, I took it seriously. And so I started reading a ton of self-help books and learning as much as I could about your stress response and how to manage stress in a healthy way. One thing led to another, and I decided to study it for my dissertation and my doctoral research. And that's where I got really interested in it and started geeking out on all the other studies that have been done. And, you know, to make a long story short, I immersed myself in it for the last 10 years. That's all I've been doing, is researching people who are in high stress roles, jobs, professions. They tell me their stress level is severe, very severe, or worst possible. for 6 months or more. Yet when I measure whether they're burned out or not, they are not burned out. So I study the people who have high levels of stress for a long time, but they're not burned out. And so that's the basis of the book, Burnout Immunity. It's all about these people who have this supernatural ability to deal with a lot of stress at work, but protect themselves from burnout. And I show people how to do that by using, well, first of all, building, but then also knowing how to use your emotional and social intelligence. So that's how I got to this point of becoming a burnout expert.
Wow. I could just see the scene. The nurse just keeps checking your blood pressure over and over again because it's something must be wrong because this person seems to be perfectly fine.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure she was quite surprised. I remember the look on her face was, she was looking at the machine, the blood pressure machine, wondering if there was something wrong with it. I think she even used a second machine at one point, or the doctor did when she came in.
Right.
But yeah, no, it's not normal for someone to have that kind of a blood pressure reading. But again, you know, if you asked me how I was feeling that day, I would have said normal or fine because I was so used to feeling that way. And, you know, when I talk to people who are experiencing that kind of ongoing long-term stress like that, the thing is with burnout, a lot of people tell me it's very insidious. It sneaks up on you. Oftentimes we're kind of aware of some of these subtle signs, missing out on things or more agitated with certain relationships. We notice some of these signs, but many of us don't do anything with that information when we should be, you know, in order to prioritize ourselves.
So how do you feel today? And I'm just kind of compare and contrast.
Yeah. You know, for the most part, I feel great. One of the things I have learned how to do, and I write about this in my book, is I've learned how to regulate my nervous system, which my nervous system is different than yours. I may get triggered by things that you wouldn't be, even if we work in the same exact same environment. And so I've become very aware of what my triggers are and why I get triggered by certain things. And then I've done a lot of work on trying to manage my triggers and have a more intentional response to my triggers rather than an impulsive reaction to my triggers. And that has helped me figure out how to regulate my nervous system when I'm in either acute stress, you know, stress is happening in the moment, my stress spikes from a 3 to a 7, or if I have chronic stress for a long period of time, like launching a book, it's like I'm busier than ever with work and school, and then I'm launching a book on top of it. So I've got chronic stress. So I need to learn how to recover frequently, not just like take a vacation after the book is launched, but really build in a lot of micro recoveries and build in a lot of capacity so that when I have these really long days or I'm traveling a lot, I'm prepared for it.
So what is burnout?
Yeah, burnout. The thing with burnout is it is overused and misused right now, to the point where I don't know that we have a common definition of it. So it's really helpful for listeners to know what it is so you can recognize the signs and do something with it. So burnout is a psychological syndrome that people experience as a result of chronic stress at work. So let me break that down a little bit. Psychological syndrome means that it can come and go. It doesn't mean that if we're burned out today, we're forever going to be doomed to be burned out for the rest of our lives or career. So syndrome means it can come and go. We can take care of ourselves and recover from burnout. The second part is it's in response to chronic stress at work. So chronic stress, meaning not just the kind of stress that happens in one day, something blows up, but it's for a period of, you know, 3 months or more, 6 months or more. The more that stress sticks around, the more it's going to grind you down. And so chronic stress for a long period of time can make you more prone to or vulnerable to burnout. And then it's primarily studied in the context of our stress that we get from work, you know, the demands of the job, the responsibilities and expectations. But, you know, I would argue, and I'm really trying to help educate people, that our personal stress depletes our capacity to deal with work stress, right? Have you ever noticed that the more stress you have outside of work, the harder it is to deal with the stress at work?
For sure.
So it's a total capacity issue. So the burnout, you know, makes people feel really emotionally exhausted, that And in fact, people have told me it's that feeling of when I wake up in the morning, I have zero energy. Like I can't imagine going to work today because I just have no emotional energy to give to my job. It also makes people feel really cynical, just bad attitude, really negative towards people that they work with. It also makes people feel like they're less effective at their jobs. Like they just can't, no matter how hard they work, how much effort they put in, it makes them feel like, I don't really feel like I'm seeing the outcomes of all this effort and work that I'm putting into it. So emotional exhaustion, cynicism, and then feeling less effective. Those are the most common feelings that people experience.
Is it accurate to say that it's not the stress that causes it, it's our response to it, our ability to deal with it?
Yes. Yeah. So some burnout experts who really just study this from a really academic perspective argue that that burnout is caused by psychologically hazardous conditions at work. I agree with that, but I would push it further and say it's actually our response to those conditions that causes us to either burn out or maintain our resilience.
What came into my head was certainly an emergency room physician and a chef in a very busy restaurant. Those are extremely stressful, and there probably are very burned out physicians and very burned out chefs and very, very calm, happy chefs and emergency room physicians.
That's exactly right. And those are the people that I study, the ones that are not burned out. Every study I've conducted and, you know, other burnout researchers that study and their study results produce findings that say 37% of the group here is burned out. Well, what about the other 63%? If they're not burned out, there's something going on with them. They may be maybe they're at risk of burnout. Some of them may be, and they might be on the verge of burning out. But in almost every study I've ever looked at and the ones I do, there's always a group of people in those same environments that are engaged in their jobs and effective and feel like they're making, you know, making the impact that they want to and doing the work they love.
I imagine that there's a continuum, I'm sure you sort of talked about, but there's a chunk that are burned out, chunk that aren't. There's probably some people who just innately, they understand how to manage things. But I imagine that the majority of it is these are learned tools and skills.
Yes, absolutely. And that's what this book is all about. It's learning how to build our emotional intelligence and then knowing how exactly to use it when we're in either acute stress or chronic stress. And so one of the things I really hope to do with this book, and I think it achieves it, is empowering people. So giving people actual practical tools and strategies that they can work on to build those skills and then use those skills in the right way. Learning how to understand and manage our emotions. That's a big part of this. You know, stress causes an emotional reaction, whether it's good stress that makes us feel like motivated and energized and like interested in doing the work, that still is an emotional reaction. Or if it's the negative kind of stress, the stuff that makes us feel anxious or overwhelmed or, you know, frustrated, all of that, we have the capacity to both understand those emotions and manage them so that we can use those emotions to our advantage, use those data as energy to help us work through things.
That's interesting. I've always, as kind of a throwaway, told people, specifically my wife the other day, that I've always operated under a healthy bit of anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, you know, there's things that have to get done. I don't feel like it's hurting me, but it gives me a sense of urgency.
Yes. So I talk quite a bit about what's called the sweet spot of stress. This comes from Kelly McGonigal's research. She's at Stanford. And there are a number of other researchers that look at what's called eustress, E-U-S-T-R-E-S-S. Eustress is good stress. That's the kind of stress that as we get more stimulation, we feel more challenged and motivated. Some people work better under deadlines. Some people intentionally procrastinate because they know that pressure they're putting on themselves will help them actually do a better job or be more creative when they need to. I did that when I was writing the book. There were times when I had 2 weeks to write a chunk of content, but I would wait until 2 days before because I knew that pressure would spark creativity in me. So that eustress can be good. And then we get a little more stress and we actually are in that zone of performance or zone of learning and growth. That's that sweet spot of stress. But if we get more than what we need of that sweet spot of stress, then we start to tip over into feelings of anxiety, like the bad kind of anxiety that that then blocks us from being creative or feeling productive. And we start feeling overwhelmed. And it's just that general feeling of like, I have way more coming at my psyche than I know how to deal with right now.
That's got to be really tricky. I don't remember what the term you talked about, how you were an insecure overachiever. And so therefore you're probably, did you find that you lied to yourself and say, no, I'm fine. I don't need anything, and just kind of keep going. So it's hard to self-diagnose sometimes.
It is. And especially when you love your job and you enjoy the work that you're doing, it can be really easy to feel like burnout is the new baseline. That living outside of that sweet spot of stress is like the norm. That's what I thought was normal. And other people that I worked with, where we were all operating under these, you know, pushing past our sweet spot of stress, not recovering as much as we needed to oftentimes. And so when we're in that state for a long period of time, that's where the insidious nature of burnout can creep up on us. And like in my case, where I had a health crisis, where all of a sudden it was like smack in front of me, a wake up call. Other people's wake up calls are much more subtle. They start to see some of their relationships deteriorate. They start to notice they feel a lack of creativity, or start to feel like their ability to learn and adapt isn't what it used to be. And it's much more subtle. But you know, what we want to do is really prevent ourselves from those big, huge wake-up calls. Those are life-threatening ones, of course, are the ones that ruin our relationships. But also we need to really pay attention to the subtle cues that it's time for recovery. It's time to reestablish and guard our boundaries, including psychological boundaries and emotional boundaries. But yes, one of the things I write about in the book is mindsets. And one of the mindsets that protects people from burnout is having an aware and care mindset. That means having an awareness of what is tipping me out of my sweet spot of stress, and then caring enough to do something with that information, caring enough to say no to things that I shouldn't take on, caring enough to maintain my boundaries and protect my boundaries. So, and caring enough to watch myself talk, you know, what am I saying to myself when I'm stressed? And so we have to be aware, and we have to then do something with that information and care about ourselves.
That to me sounds like real, genuine, authentic self-care.
Yes. Yeah. It's not just like the preventative, go get a massage or do yoga once in a while, but it is really tuning into what you need to keep yourself in that sweet spot of stress. What do you need for you to be at your peak performance and feel like you're learning and growing and contributing how you want to? Think about what are the conditions that keep you in that zone. And then one of the things, George, that I find really deeply reassuring because I'm still prone to getting myself out of that sweet spot of stress. But one of the things that's really reassuring is that when I do notice that I'm outside of that zone for a while and I'm starting to become more vulnerable to burning out, I know that I've been in the sweet spot of stress before, and I know how to get myself back there. I know what my conditions are. I know what I need to do to take care of myself to get back there. And that's my responsibility.
I love everything that you've been talking about. How many, I don't want to mislabel, but tools, strategies, tactics did you sort of distill down from your research? Are there dozens?
Dozens. Yes. Every chapter is full of multiple reflection questions, exercises. Listeners can actually go to my website right now and take one of my free, it's called the Burnout Risk Assessment. If you are wondering if you are on the fast track to burning out, that quiz, it's an online quiz. Again, it's free. It will take you less than 5 to 7 minutes to complete, and it will give you immediate results that will tell you whether you are at low, moderate, or high risk of burning out. And then based on your results, I offer some really specific recommendations and even point you to pages or exercises in the book where you can go to work on, whatever it is that's specific to you. But yeah, every single chapter has a number of exercises. that I designed, and then a number of reflection questions. It's work. I'll tell you what, I mean, the book is yes, it's a self-help book, but it's the kind of book that you will want to work through, actually use it as a workbook and talk to a friend or a partner or a coach or a mentor about what you're learning about yourself. And I still do, you know, 10, 11 years after my life-threatening health crisis, I still work on these things. I'll give you another just free exercise, just really quick, that your listeners can do every single day. This one works for me. When I think about my self-care practices or what I'm doing or not doing, I ask myself two simple questions. And I do this literally every day. Number one, what am I doing? And number two, what is that doing to me? So if, for example, if I'm really stressed and I decide I'm going to have a couple glasses of wine in the evening just to unwind, have some wine and I have some popcorn, that might feel good in the moment. But then I ask myself, well, what is that really doing to me? Is it setting me up for a good night's sleep? Is it setting me up to feel, you know, energized and alert in the morning when I have a big day? So asking ourselves those two questions can really help us gain some insight into what's working and what's not working for us.
What am I doing? What is that doing to me? I'm really having an awesome time having a glass of wine and enjoying some popcorn. That's what's going on. Right? That sounds delightful, but I 100% appreciate what you're saying. And those are really powerful. I love, there's so much power in a good question, and those are two excellent ones. So thank you. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? Where can we find the burnout risk assessment? And of course, where can we get our copy of Burnout Immunity, How Emotional Intelligence Can Help You Build Your Resilience and Heal Your Relationship with Work?
Yeah, all of it is on my website, candyweens.com. That's K-A-N-D-I, Weens, W-I-E-N-S. There's a page on there with information about my book. You can order it on Amazon and all the other online retailers. It'll be in bookstores on April 23rd. And you'll get the burnout risk assessment on my website. I have now, I think, 10 Harvard Business Review articles. And then I write a monthly blog. All of that is free, and that's on my website as well. So if you're waiting for the book, you can't wait for the book to come out next month and you want to start reading about this stuff, go to my website and you'll see those HBR articles in my blog. And that'll give you a good first start before you get the book.
Awesome. Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Candy your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to candyweens.com, K-A-N-D-I-W-I-E-N-S.com. Take advantage of all those great resources that Candy was just talking about. Take the burnout risk assessment. Just find out where you are at. And obviously pick up a copy of the book, Burnout Immunity, and start to heal your relationship with work and everything else we've been talking about today. Thanks again, Candy.
Thanks, George.
Till next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.